Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf kivuv. We're holding the Mishnah bottom of Kif Hei Umid Beis. Zok the Mishnah. Ha-mekabel soda mechaveiroi. Again, we have a landlord, the farmer who owns the field, and we have the person working in the field. We'll see in a moment whether we're talking about chakirus or arisus. And what happened was, unfortunately, the crop didn't do so well this year. The achle chogav. Chog of a heishrikin. Heishrikin, I believe, are grasshoppers. Oy nishtava. Nishtava means that they were the subject of blasting winds. And those winds blasted the tvua and caused that the tvua did not grow properly. Imakas medinahi. If this happens to be a makkah that's affecting not just this particular property, but in general, all over. We'll see in Etchim and the Gemara shortly how wide and how far is all over. But if it's a makkah's medina, the menaka loy min chakurai. Then the choike can go and say to the balabas, you have to give me a reduction in the amount of chakiris that I have to pay. This is similar to the concept, lahavdil, that you have in secular contracts, that they write that if you have an act of God, that could go and supersede a lot of the terms of the agreement. So here too, under normal circumstances, this field would have produced 1,000 bushels. But because of but a Kodesh Baruch who did this Makas Medina, the Chogav and the Nishnevot only had 500 bushels, or 10 bushels, whatever it was. As a result, you get a break in the contract. But only if it's a Makas Medina, this is obviously something the Kodesh Baruch who decided to publish, to punish Agamta Medina. And then he can go and reduce the amount he has to go and pay. Rashi points out, obviously, that this Mishnah is only talking about Chakronis and not Kablonus. Why? Because we're talking about Kablonis. Kablonis is the percentage, so it makes no difference whether it made 1,000 bushels or 500 bushels. You get the same 20%, 50%, 30%, whatever, lemechzer, leshlish, leraviyah, whatever percentage that they worked out. So it would make no difference if it's a successful crop or if it's a poor crop. Continues the Mishnah. It made a Makas Medina. If this only affected this particular property and nothing else, a menakele mechakura, then he doesn't get a break at all. And the reason is because we say mazluch gora. Must be that this particular choyker who's working in the field, his mazl was a bad mazl. In other words, either he did a poor job in working the field, or the Kodesh Baruch Hu is punishing him, or whatever the point is, it's not something which is a general punishment for the community, just him. Therefore, he has no right to go and take a reduction from the amount of rental payments that he has to pay. So we've already mentioned a number of times in our perek that although we refer to two categories, the category of arisus and the category of chakronis, arisus being a percentage, chakronis being a din of chakiris, and chakronis chakiris being that you pay a set fixed rental amount. However, within chakiris itself, you have two subsets. One is chakiris that you go and pay in kind, meaning that you pay in bushels of wheat or bushels of barley or whatever you're growing. And then you have normal rental like we do today. You pay money. So says Rabbi Yehuda, if the chakiris arrangement was that of money, which is otherwise called sechirus, in that case, then you cannot be menak aloy mechakurai. Explains Rashi, why not? Because the gzeira, the Kodesh Baruch Hu was goyzer on this medina, or on this individual, was with respect to the chitim, the sa'oirim, whatever is growing in the field. But it wasn't the gzeira on money. And therefore, since their deal was a money deal, the fact that the medina got a makkah, or this person got a makkah, is irrelevant. Rabbi Yehuda ben kach or ben kach, ein menaki, does not take a break and that doesn't get a reduction. So we started off that it's a makas medina, then menakeloi, he gets a reduction in the chakirus rate. Hey, chidam makas medina, can you describe this to me? I'm Rabbi Yehuda, you're in the yishtiv, ruba de baga. So medina doesn't mean the ganz chweis ganz America, the ganz Eretz Yisrael, the ganz chweis another country. It just means roiv of a baga. Baga means a valley. If you have a valley of wheat fields, for instance, chweis there are 100 wheat fields in that valley belonging to 100 different owners, of which 55 of them, 60 of them were all blasted by the wind, or all suffered grasshoppers, and therefore they all had big problems. So even though we're not talking about Makas Medina, we're just talking in that area, Roiv of the Sodais were all affected. That's already enough for a Makas Medina. Ula Amma Ula goes even to a greater extreme. He says, Kigoin Shinishtadfu Arba Sodais Ma'abaruchaisa. Even if the entire Baga, the entire valley of fields, was normal, if this property that we're talking about in our Mishnah and the four adjoining properties, adjacent properties from all four sides, if all of them were affected by this Makkah, so we see it's not this particular field, it's this entire area, even though this entire area is a much smaller area than the Medina and than even the Baga, but nevertheless, in this area of the four fields and this field in the middle, five fields together, if they all had the same Makkah, it's a Makkah Medina, it's not this particular individual in particular.
And therefore it's five different owners, or different ownership?
Different ownership, yeah. About ownership, about the landlord owning, or the Oris, or Choyker owning, we're going to talk more on Kufav and Medala. Arma Ula. Now Ula was the one that was Machadish, even if it's just the four adjacent fields. Now Ula himself, Boy Barav, he says in Eretz Yisrael, he asked the following Shaila. L'choira, these shaylas that we're going to ask now are only appropriate to Ula's view and not to Rav Yehuda's view. What did they say? Moreover, they asked, Nishtaf, tell him, Echad al p'nei kula, mai. Meaning, what happens, Yankel owned the field that we're talking about in our Mishnah. That was Yankel's field. Instead of all the four adjacent fields from all sides, all having the same issue, it was only tell him Echad means one row around the field. So there were taka four rows, from all four sides, all of which were hit by the Chagav or were Nishtafa. So it wasn't the entire field, it was just one row from all four sides. My, what's the din? Is that enough for a Makkah's Medina? Or no, this is already a private Makkah and no right to a Nikui, to a reduction in the rate. What happens in Shtayat Talmechar al-Panei Kulamau? What happens the other way around? All the four Sodis Arum and Arum were all affected by the Chagav or Nishtafa. However, there was one Talam, one row, which was the one that was adjacent to that middle field, the one that is the subject of our Mishnah. That was Nishtayat. Nothing happened to it. Mahu. So in other words, although it was Taka, all the same five fields that we're talking about, however, there was one small or thin zone that escaped this Chagav and Nishtafa, and that zone was one telem, one row from all four sides that surrounded and encircled the inside field. And that was not Nishtafa. Is the question is, does that make it now no longer a Makkah's Medina? Or you say that becomes bottled to these five fields, and therefore it is a Makkah's Medina. If Sika Bira Mai, now Bira over here doesn't mean bar, but Bira means a field that was left fallow, like we had in the Gemara the other day, in the Mishnah, Oivir, that he left it boor, he left it a fallow field. So therefore the four fields, Arum and Arum, this particular field, they were not hit by the Makkah's Medina, and the reason is because nothing was growing in that field, they left it fallow for the year. And therefore there was nothing for the Makkah's Medina to attack. The question is, what happens, however, had there been Tvua here? No way of knowing. So therefore the question is, does that now still allow to be Makkah's Medina or not? So if Sika Bira Mai. So there were others even further down. In other words, you have this central field, surrounded by four fields, all of which were lying fallow. But going further beyond the four fields, now you had other fields to the right, to the left, to the north, to the south, from all four sides, that were Nishtaf, were affected by this Makkah's Medina. The fact that this was now this zone in between, which was unaffected, but of course it was also fallow, is that kind of a mechitza or chatzitza between those to make it no longer Makkah's Medina or not? Aspasta means that surrounding this middle field, you didn't have regular tavua fields, but you had fields that were sown and planted with aspasta. Aspasta, explains Rashi, is the type of food that was used as shachas, as fodder, as hay, the machal behind them. This, or these aspasta fields, loy nishtafu, they were not affected by the Makkah's Medina. However, it could well be that had they been planted with chita masoira, maybe they would have been affected by the Makkah's Medina. Is my. Zera acher mai. Zerach explains Rashi, this is mitan imtim tzolayma. If you're going to go and tell me that Aspasta is not considered to be a hefsik, why? Because Aspasta was not in the gezeira of the punishment of the tvua. Because Aspasta is not your normal grain. What happens if in fact it was chita legabi sa'oyrim, kizera acher dami? Meaning, what happens if his field was made out of chitim, and the four surrounding ones were sa'oyrim? And as a result, if they were nishtadav or not nishtadav, does that have an effect on the middle one? In other words, the Makas Medina, they all have to be the same tvua or a different tvua. And if this particular tvua was hit and the other was not hit, maybe that's still a Makas Medina, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said that all chitim should be destroyed and the sa'orim not. So the question is that considered to be like a hefsik with between that field and the other field? So this field in the middle is, let's say, chitim. A room and a room with sa'orim. And then beyond that, many others were also chitim. And all of the chitim were hit, but the sa'orim were not hit. The question is that a hefsik? And you say that that's not a Makas Medina, because you see the sa'orim weren't hit. Or do you say, no, that's a separate min? There was no gzeir against that min. It's gzeir achadom yalai. As you know, in the Toichacha says shidofim v'yirokayin. Shidofim means the wind blasting. You have wind that blasts against the field and destroys the crop. Yirokayin means that it's such a dry drought that a lot of the tvua is no longer white; it turns yellow. Yirokayin is also in Chas Hashem. A person has a machli yirokayin is jaundice, which means a yellowing of the skin. Here it's a yellowing of the stalks of wheat or barley, what have you. Anyway, so the question is, the whole Medina has Nebuch, a terrible makkah, but it's two separate makkahs. This was a shidofen, this is a yirokayin. So all these shadows in Moris Teiku, we're not really sure. We have to wait for Leo Anavi whether this is considered to be a makkah's Medina or not, to be able to allow for a deduction or reduction in the price. We have no teikus ever by mominas.
I'm saying, in this case, why don't we say, why we have a claim? Somebody says, look, I mean, you owe me, you have a.
Moitzim chaver olorai is usually a question of fact. We don't know who's right and who's wrong. Reuven says one thing, Shimon says the other thing, and we don't know who's right, who's wrong. Bari v'bari, v'shema v'shema. And moitzim chaver olorai, if you want to be victorious in this litigation, you have to go and bring your evidence and your eyes. Here we're talking about a question of law, a question of halacha. How are we going to paskin in the case of the sa'orim and the chitim, zera'acher, mit aspasta, and hin and her? So nothing to do with Reuven's tainus or Shimon's tainus. This happens to be a universal question that is facing the chachamim, as this considers to be a makas medina or not. Talk to more about it. Omar Lay, the deal was zera'chiti, to go and plant chitim. But also was zera'sari, instead he went and planted sa'orim. Vishtadif Ruba de Baga, and most of the valley in fact had a Shidofoin, Vishtadif Nami Hanoch Sari Delay, as well as the Soyrim of his field. Is my, what's the din? Yamrin the Amulay, Iluzarata Chiti Abenami Mishtadfa. Could he go and say that if he had planted Chitim, it would also have been the subject of Shidofoin? Because after all the other fields were planted chitim in this valley. He decided to go and change it from chitim to sa'orim, and he also was the subject of shidofim. So, if anything, it's a kol shkein. I went and changed, so I was hoping that I wouldn't be affected by the shidofim. But instead, it was hit just like all the others. Or can he go and tell him, had you planted chitim of Mekayim B, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given me a special blessing, like it says in the Pasuk, that Tigzer Oyim B'Vayakim Lach, that the person was Goyzer, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, I agree. That this Pasuk, that Tigzer Oyim B'Vayakim Lach, is usually brought in other contexts to suggest that a tzaddik Goyzer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. But Tigzer Oimer, when a tzaddik says something, Vayakom Lach HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim, that word that the tzaddik says. Now here we're talking about two plain individuals. If you're not a particular tzaddik, how can he go and say that had you planted chitim, I would have had this special brach of a Tigzer Oimer? So Rashi says something which is very, very important and very profound. Rashi says that Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to all the tefillahs. And if a person goes and davens from the depth of his heart, very possibly Kadosh Baruch Hu would have gone and changed the mass of Bereishis over here from everybody else. Everybody else has this Makas Medina, but I would have been saved. as a result of my tefillah. If you look at the Rashi, second of the narrow line, the Tigzaimer. Macha tavakish mena yoitzer. When you go and ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yasa, he will do for you. Vani loy bikashi mena shemai betchilis hashona, shiatz lecheni b'sa'oirim. Since the contract that we had between the two of us was that you were going to go and plant chitim, from the first day of the season I've been asking Kodesh Baruch Hu the chitim that should be planted by my oris, by my choiker, be matzliach, and those chitim, that the chitim should develop and blossom and flourish and grow and da-da-da-da-da-da. And had you done that, there's a good chance that I would have been exempt from this Makas Medina. Kodesh Baruch Hu would give me a special shmir. But the problem is, you didn't do what we contracted. You did Sa'idim. And I wasn't mispalef for Sa'idim, I wasn't mispalef for Hitim. And the Gemara considers that to be enough of Gemara considers this to be enough of a taina that we actually listen to him. Because the Gemara says, Mistavra, the Svora tells us, the Omalei, Izarat, Achitim, Makayim, Bibatig, Sa'im, Vayakum, Lach, Vadrachach, Anogar. So the Gemara is supporting what the landowner said. When the landowner said that had you planted a chiti, I might have been zochet to this. The Gemara says, yes, this svara is a solid svara, and because this fellow was posheya, and instead of going and planting chitim, he planted sa'orim, so even though everybody else planted chitim and they also were hit, and his sa'orim were also hit, but had you done what you were supposed to do, then Kodesh Baruch Hu would have done what he was supposed to do, and that is listen to my tefillahs. And my tefillahs were for the chitim.
We get in a sochas and him to die red and he dies black. It's called Mishana Yerah Tachtona. So, I mean, it's not a Kliya, a Metalton type of thing. It's Karka.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Mishana. The Choker was Mishana from what the...
So you're supporting this, Gemara.
Yeah,
you're saying fine.
It was very similar. I mean, it's Kol Mishana. It was a principle. Kol Mishana Yerah Tachtona. You made a Shinui, so too bad. You should have stuck to the contract.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have had the Makas Medina exemption. Mm-hmm. You didn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
But not every change is considered to be a change that's lasting, right? That's why we talked about if you do it from one color to the other, it works one way, but if the other the color back to the other, it doesn't.
It depends how you color the circumstances. Anyway, the bottom line is, you have the tushtel of Barry, the Gabi, whether or not this is considered to be Mishana, Yerol Tachtayim. And the Gemara continues on. Mishtar for kol sadoisim shel machir, mishtar of nami ho ba'adayu, v'lo yishtar of ruba debaga mai. Oh, and this sounds like a very, very clear-cut case. This machir had properties in a number of different places. Machir meaning the landowner. He had sodois here and there in New Jersey and Connecticut and New York, all over. And this one was also the subject and the victim of the shidofain of this Makas Medina. However, but the rest of the properties in this valley were not ishtadav. Who? My. What's the din now? It's obviously, it's not a general, universal Makas Medina.
It's a Gavra, not a Medina question.
It's a Gavra question, not a Medina question, because this Gavra, his properties here and there and everywhere, unfortunately have this Shidafain, which is affecting them. And it's not a Makka that affects other people. And therefore, for sure, the choyker should be able to go and say, what are you looking at me? It's mazlach garam. I see your mazl is bad everywhere. Or perhaps because, in fact, all of the properties of the machkir went bad this year, omalei, the machkir can go and say to the choyker, hay mishum lasach didachu. This particular property is not because of my mazl, it's because of your bad mazl. Because all of the fields were nishtadiv. In other words, that once again, let's say the words over. Since Roiv of the valley was not nishtadiv, he cannot go and take it off because of that Makas Fadina. Or maybe because all of his particular properties were nishtadiv. Let the choker say to the machir, "Hay mishum latal didachu." Obviously, it's your bad mazel. The mishtad for kol seidisech, and therefore, I do want to get a reduction because of the fact that your bad mazel caused all of your properties to have shidof, and it's not my fault; it's your fault. I deserve a deduction or reduction, and not because it's a Makas Medina, but because it's a Makas Gavra, like Barry says on this machir. Says the Imari Pung Faket, "Mistav the Amalei." the machir, the landowner, can go and say the because of my bad mazel, then at least one property would have been left over, meaning this property where the makkah would not have hit. Why? Because in the pasuk, ma'at meharbe, meaning that even though Kadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom punishes somebody, he doesn't normally punish him to decimate him, to wipe him out totally. Something will remain. So it's not true, I have 50 properties. All 50 were hit by this makkah. However, I should have been zocha that at least one out of the 50 should not be affected. The reason why this was affected is not because of me. It's because of you. And therefore, you're not entitled to take a reduction. And now the Gemara says just the opposite case. Nishtat because the doitzev shel choicher. What happens if this choicher is a very able individual, and he's not just working in one field, he has a whole bunch of fields that he's working for others, and all of the choicher's fields, including his own properties that he owns. In other words, he is a landowner himself, number of farms. And besides that, he's also acting as the choicher for this particular machir. So nishtar for kol sedoyv shel choicher, vishtar of ruba de bag, and roiv of the valley also had a shidofay, vishtar of nami hobadayu, and this particular property, which is the subject of the chakirus, was also nishtar. My, what's the din now? Mi amriki nishtar of ruba de bag menakulate, since it's a makas medina, roiv of the bag was all hit. Therefore, he gets a reduction, like it says in our Mishnah. Or because the choiches, all of his properties were hit, matzi amalei mishemlata didachu. The mishtad v'kosu leisecha. Can the machir say to the choicher, "It's your fault. It's your bad mazel"? Because I see that all of your properties, the properties of the choicher, wherever they happen to be, are all hit by this shidafin, and therefore you have to know you're not entitled to a reduction. Says you want mistavid. I'm a lay. Mishum latoch. Ooh, it's more mistavid to go and say that the machir can blame it on the choicher. That what? It's mazlach didach. Because I see that all of your properties went bad this year. Is the chasim and it's your makkah on you personally? Just like we said by the machir, that it's very rare that Kodesh Baruch Hu should go and punish a person totally. He leaves over at least something. So say over here too, Kodesh Baruch Hu would have left over this particular field for me. The reason why I didn't leave it over is not because Latoy Didi, but because of Makas Medina, because Roiv of all the fields in the Baga, or Gesundheit, were all the subject of this Makas Medina. Says he won Mishim Da'amalei. He have his choses, his jirulach, midi, amishtai lachoch, midi nafshach. What the Machia says to the Choycher is, of course, both you and I have the same benefit of the Svara of this Pasuk. That the Pasuk says, Kinesharim at miharbe, that normally Kodesh Baruch Hu would have left off at least one field that should not be the subject of this terrible punishment, of this terrible makkah. So just like by the makkah, you can go and say, it's not my fault, it's your fault, because else me, kinesharim at miharbe. So the choicher should be able to say the same thing to the makkah. The reason why we don't accept that excuse in this case to allow him for a reduction, says the Gemara, because the nishtarnu me'at meharbe, it should have benefited you on one of your own personal fields. Since we're talking about the choicher owns his own properties, so one of your own personal properties should have been saved from this shidofer, from this makas medina. Vosip is the pink, this one, which doesn't belong to you, which you are choicher on my behalf. Pink, this is the one that is the one that was destroyed. Ah, so that shows you that it's not one that should have been a nish'an me'at meharbe one, but rather it's makoscha, it's mazloch, it's your mazl that caused this not to grow this year, and therefore you do not get a reduction in the chakirs. Thank you, Mar. Let me ask you a question. How is Shnas Shidofen v'Yerokin Oishviyas Oishoyishonim Kishnei Eliyo? Eina Oiluloy Menaminyan. Now this Mishnah, this brisa that we're bringing now, has nothing to do with our Gemara. It has to do with Hilchos, the halacha of a right of redemption in a person who buys a stei achuza. The halacha is a person who goes and buys a stei achuza from someone else in Eretz Yisrael. It's a field, not a house. It's a stei achuza. The halacha is that for the first 2 years, he has no right of redemption. Why? Because it said in the pasuk, "Mispashnei tvuos yim kalach." The first 2 years of tvuos of crops, those were sold to the purchaser. After all, the purchaser is going to go and put in some capital expense and capital investment, and therefore for those first 2 years it belongs to him. After those 2 years are over, and then the owner, the Seichuza, has a right of redemption. He could try to get his field back by paying him back the money, and I think he has to add a choymish, as we've stated in the time. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara now, so what happens if in those first 2 years that the purchaser bought the property, unfortunately one of those years the crop did not grow? Why didn't it grow? It was a shnas shidofen, like in our Mishnah, it was the subject of the wind blasts of our Mishnah. Or Yerokin, there was a terrible drought which caused the tvua to yellow. Or Yishvias, it was shmita year that you're not allowed to plant at all. Or Yishvashonim kishnei Elio, in the times of Elio, it says that there were 3 years of total drought, nothing grew, zero gunish megunish. And therefore, in all of those cases, that is not counted towards the 2 years of the shnei tvuos, and you get an extension of another year. Let's go and let's analyze the Mishnah a little bit more deeply. It says Ketoni Shidafim Yerakain, and it also gives the example of Shonim Kishnei Eliyahu. So Lechoyda the Shidafim Yerakain is doing is similar to the Shonim Kishnei Eliyahu. Mashnei Eliyahu delay have a Tvua Klal, that there was no Tvua growing at all, like it says in the Tanakh. Afochanami delay have a Tvua Klal, there was nothing growing at all. In such a case, it's called the Shidafim Yerakain, and you cannot go and you cannot use that year towards the 2 years of Shnei Tvuot. Avol Ikat Tvuot, Zayt Zechos, if it's Tvuot somewhere, not in this particular property, but somewhere else, in the Medina, in the Baga, Salkalei, then this is counted towards the 2 years of which they're the exclusion to the normal right of redemption. But like, come in, we don't go and say Makas Vedini. We don't go and say, no. Even though one or two properties in the right and the left and the north and the south had Tvua, we don't go and say that that is a determining factor. The important thing is that as far as these, it has to be just like Shnei Eliyahu, they'll have a Tvua Klal. Also over here has to be, they'll have a Tvua Klal. Zero. In the entire Medina, nothing. It's not a Ruba de Baga, it's zero. Goodish. But if there would be Tvua somewhere in this Baga, then Salkalei, then this would be counted towards the 2 years when the seller cannot try to redeem back the property. We don't go and say Makas Medini. As long as there's a little Tvua here or there, that's already enough. So Frank Gemara, why is it different than our Mishnah? In our Mishnah, the way the Gemara interpreted Rabbi Yehuda, according to Ishtav Ruba the Baga, and according to Ula, Nishtad for Arba Sadois, L'choyre, the definition of a Makas Medina means that everything, there's not one property in the entire Baga that has been spared. Everything has been hit. Yet our Gemara said, Ruba the Baga, or Nishtad for Arba Sadois. The Torah could have said, it means that these years have to be productive tvua years. That it's got to be shanim sheyesh ben tvua ba'olam, at least it is tvua somewhere in the world. If there's tvua somewhere in the world, then it's counted towards the 2 years. However, if there's no tvua anywhere in the world, then it's not counted towards the 2 years. However, in our Mishnah, we're not talking about Shnei Tvuos, we're talking about a Makas Medina, and the definition of Makas Medina is the Ishta Bruba de Baga, and then you're entitled to go and get a reduction. Since you said we're making a dimyoin between Shidof and Yerokoin, and the Shonim Kishnei Eliyahu, remember we had another case there too. Oy Shvias. Shvias, of course, is Shmitiyah. El Miata Shvias, Talim and a Minyan. If that's the case, Shmita should be counted towards the Minyan of the 2 years. So, Ikadimu B'chutz Laret. Even though in Eretz Yisrael you're not allowed to go and plant, but in Chutz Laret you are allowed. So there's plenty of Tvua B'oilam. It's Shnei Tvuos. Why don't you say that this is counted towards your 2 years? Amalei, he told me, Shvias is an exception to the rule. That's Afgata the Malki. It's like the Kodesh Baruch Hu confiscated Eretz Yisrael during Shemitah year, and he says, this year doesn't count for any purpose, because this is excluded. It's as if this year doesn't even exist in terms of the world. If you look at the Rashi in the middle of the Omid, Hefkat of the Malka, HaMelech Bitlo Milazoya, Kodesh Baruch Hu made a special rule, he's Mavatl, nobody's allowed to go and plant, but he Kimosh Ein, it's as if this year doesn't even exist in terms of agriculture. It's a non-existent year, you cut it off, you carve it out from the balance sheet. Like Korah Kosovo Yisrael, Shnas Tvoa, Fakal Yisrael, live in Eretz Yisrael, this is not called Shnei Tvois, even though outside of Eretz Yisrael you're allowed to go and plant, that doesn't count. If that's the case, then Shviya should also not count towards Girua. Now what means Girua? What happens if a person is Maktish his Stei Achuza? And then after that the Gizba comes to him and says, would you like your Stei Achuza back? And he says, yes, he does want it back. Now how much do you have to go and pay if you're Maktish Stei Achuza? So the Torah tells you, you don't have to pay according to the value, but how much do you have to pay? You have to give 50 shkolim.
Right, for
the Yovel, right? Yovel. So therefore, you don't go and give 50 shkolim automatically. It's a 50 shkolim. Base chaymes oirim b'chamishim shekel kosef. Base chaymes oirim. Chaymes is the same thing as a car. So if you have a field which is a base car, base chaymes oirim that can grow a whole car of oirim b'chamishim shekel kosef, the amount is 50 shkolim. Okay, but what happens if you have 1 year until Yovel? Then you don't have to go and pay 50 shkolim. You have to prorate it over the 49 years between one Yovel and the next Yovel. So how do you prorate 50 shkolim? So explains Rashi. You have to go and give one shekel per year together with one punjoin per year. Because we've already discussed the various currencies from time to time. And how many punjoinim do you have in a sela? So we start off again with the famous mnemonic of the Doivev Ches. The Dalet tells you that there are four dinrim in a sela. The Vav tells you that there's six mo'o in a dinner. So six times four comes out to be roughly 24. The two punjoinim, that's the Doivev, two punjoinim is two times that is 48. So therefore every single sela has in it 48. And then after that, the next bays tells you Isser, and then Ches gives you the Shmoyne Prutois. But you were talking about the 48 punjoinim. So therefore, you have now, in the 49 years, you are paying 49 shkolim, but I need one more shekel, 50 shkolim altogether. Oh, you also have 49 punjoinim. 49 punjoinim, of course, includes 48 punjoinim. Yesh bachlal masayim anam. 48 punjoinim is already another shekel. So I already have 50 shkolim together with one extra punjoin. Extra punjoin is the amount that you normally give for an exchange, a commission, if you're exchanging big matbeis for smaller matbeis, smaller matbeis for big matbeis. So you give noch habisla a drop more.
How come we don't
get that? Overpaying one punjoin.
One punjoin over 50-year period. Nish gefährlich, right? Was up there?
Why are we not deducting from the shvias that are within that?
That's the Gemara's kasha. Uri, who just came back from Eretz Yisrael, Avi the Eretz Yisrael Machkim, comes up and freit aguta kashim chamti gemoras kashim. And that is, why do we make a cheshbon dividing up the 50 shkolim by 49? We should go and divide it up by 42. Why 42? Because since there's 7 shmita years in every 49, 50 year yovel cycle, so those years, it's afkata the malka, you can't go and plant anyway, so therefore, they're non-existent years, Rashi says, kemoisha eina, so therefore it should only be 42, and you should go and therefore divide up 50 shkolim by 42. How much would that come out to be? Rashi says, a little bit more than a sela and a dinner. Everybody's invited to make the cheshbonis at home. And therefore, instead of sela and punjoin being multiplied by 49, go and take a sela of a dinner and multiply it by 42. It's only my zutum reid of Mary Larvina. Elamiyat shviyas loytalim and geruah. We shouldn't go and include shviyas towards the 49. Alomat tanan loyisela punyan lishana. It should be sela the dinner for 42 years. Amalei shani hasim the chazir lemishtecha ba'peiri. For our purposes, the person who's makdish to stay achuz, it doesn't mean that necessarily he's going to use it for growing peiros. He can use it for other things as well. What other things? He can go and use it as a year to go and take the fruit from the prior year, which he wants to dry out. You can go and dry it out by putting it on the field of the Shemitah year. So therefore, it continues to have an agricultural utility, even though you're not in the growth. What's up there?
It's hefker.
What's hefker? We're talking about peiros from the sixth year, not peiros from the seventh year. Person has peiros from the sixth year. They're nice and yishmak and fine, but there was no refrigeration and no freezer, So what they would do is they put it out in the fields, which are dry, so you have dry fruit, and then you can keep on eating that for next.
Put out in the field on a Shemitah year, even if it's from the sixth year, is not after?
No, it's only the growth of the seventh year. And even the growth of the seventh year depends on whether it's the Lakita was in that year, or the Chanita, the Chanota was in that year. And that's why even today, they publish in Eretz Yisrael all types of time schedules when you have to worry about particular fruits and particular vegetables, whether they are Shemitah produce or not Shemitah produce. So here too.
Is the person taking a chance that if you leave your fruits out in the field and a Shemitah year, there's a chazaka that they're hefker, people will come and just take them?
My assumption is that if you live in a farming society, you would know which are sixth year and which one's the seventh year. In other words, are these brand new fruits from this year, from last year? In other words, they had familiarity with the seasons and could tell which ones. And if not, you'd have to put up a big sign. A big sign, don't take any fruits, because these are sixth year fruits and not seventh year fruits. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so our Gemara tells us that since when it comes to the din of the 2 year exclusion to the redemption right, it's in Mishmashne, Tvuos. Tvuos means that it's growing grain, growing a crop. Here, however, the Torah just talks about the 50 shkolim over the 50 year period, the 49 year period. So these 7 years of Shemitah, even though you cannot plant, but there's still a utility to them that you can go and use it for storage, if you will, for drying out payers and presumably for other types of utilities as well. Okay, so now we come back again to our Mishnah. When it says in our Mishnah that if it's a Makas Medina, you get the benefit of a reduction in the rental rate, that's Dafka if you did what you're supposed to. Like Barry said before, you were not Mishana. You planted and it grew, but unfortunately the Chagav came, the grasshoppers came, or this terrible Shidufin, this storm wind came, blasted away, and therefore the crop did not succeed. Avalezar Aklal, what happens if he says, it appears to me on my crystal ball that this is going to be a bad year, and therefore he said, no purpose in planting at all, and he sat the year out, even though everybody else in the community also lost their pants, thank you very much, because of the fact that it was a Shnas, Shidofoin, or Chagav. Nevertheless, we throw the books at him. Tiomalei, it was Zerata. Had you planted it the way we had contracted him, the Kaivila Yavosha Beisra, Umimera Ovin Yisbol. That even though it's Esra, it's a bad time for everybody else. Leyavosha, I would not have been embarrassed. Umimera Ovin, even though it's a Rav, it's a hunger for everybody else, Yisbol. I would have been satisfied. In other words, this ties into the Gemara before. I was mispal, that everything should go great. Would have listened to my tefillahs, but if you didn't plant, you know, Kodesh Baruch Hu is not going to make a nest of Yesh Me'ai, although he could, but he's not going to. And therefore, if you would have planted, I might have succeeded, and you still have to pay me the full rent. Moser of Sheshis, if that's the case, let's go back to a Gemara that we had earlier on in our Masechta, back on Daf Mem Aleph, Vashtei Dot in the Gemara. Roye, Moser of Sheshis, Roye Shehir, Roye V'iniach Edroi U'boli Ir. You had a shepherd, he was tending somebody's aid or somebody's flock, and then he took a break and he went into the city. If you remember that Gemara spoke about that he go in at the same time that everybody else goes in or not. He went to Dam Mincha, he went in for a coffee break, whatever it was. And the Gemara said over there, according to Shmuel, that he was Notar Kinanatri Inchi, he was Yeva Shmir like everybody else. The Gemara was talking about when did he come into the ear, the same time as everybody else, not the same time. And at that time, when he was off the farm, when he was away from the grazing of the animals, as the Eiv came and Ari came and went and destroyed a large part of the flock, or at least some of the flock. We don't go to Elo Hayasham if he was there, Hayamatzel. He could have saved the day and saved all of the sheep. But rather, we try to do an oimid. We try to go and estimate and appraise and assess the situation. If he could have been Matzel, great. Dim Lav, Potter. But if he couldn't, then he's Potter. In other words, we try to size up the circumstance, the situation. Had he been there, would he be able to be Matzel or not? Faith him or Bamai. Namely, he have this awesome. If you would have been there, have Mekayim be Gamasari Gamadoiv Hika Avdecho. In other words, let the Machkir, the landowner, say to the Choicher, well, 1 second, don't say this Oindim Yochel Hatzel or not. As a result of my Tfilis, as a result of my Schusim, a Kodesh Baruch Hu could have miraculously made Hika Gamasari Gamadoiv Hika Avdecho. That even though you're a single guy, you could have taken a makel and you could have smote and hit the Ari and the Doiv, and they'd have learned their lesson and they would have run away. And therefore, by your being away, that's why you are chayv. You should have to pay everything. I mean, if you're saying that, because Baruch Hu listens to all of my tefillahs so intensively and so intently, and these are all good reasons not to do a reduction, same thing should apply by the grazing of the animals. The Kadosh Baruch Hu listened to me, and you'd have had a mess. So, Gemara Mishum the Amalei, he havis chuz lechush lechanisa, havis rachish lechanisa, kreb chanina ben doisa, the masyan easy doivi bekanayu. What the choicha can go and say back to the machir is that if you are a person whose tefillahs and whose masim toivim are so great that you would have been zochet to an ace, that had I been on premises, I could have hit the Ari and the Doiv, then you should have been zochet even a greater ness. What's the greater ness? The ness of Chanina Mendoisa. The Gemara tells him, Sechtes Tanis, that there were people that were rumor mongerers, and they were talking bad about Chanina Mendoisa, who was the Tzadik Ador, Kola Oilam Kula Nizim Israel, Chanina Bani, Chanina Bani, Daila the Kav Charuv, Me Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, the entire world sustenance, everybody that had food in the world was because of the schos of this one great Tzadik of Chanina Mendoisa, and he himself lived in an impoverished situation, eating only Kav Charuvim from week to week. But the point is, the Gemara tells us that there were, like in all generations, critics, dissidents, leftists, rightists, extremists, call them whatever you want to, bloggists, exactly, who like to go and criticize anyone and everyone. And they said, Reb Chanina Mendoisa has izim, he had some sheep, and these sheep were grazing on other people's lands, and therefore Reb Chanina Mendoisa is a gazlan, because his animals are stealing from other people. So when Reb Chanina Mendoisa heard this, Reb Chanina Mendoisa said, aha, if that's the case, let all of my izim be eaten up today by dubim, by bears. Let them go and eat up all of my izim. Instead of the bears eating up the izim, all the izim returned that night from their grazing, from the pasture. They returned back to the barn, or wherever they went back to the corral, and each one of them had on their horns a dead bear, which they were holding over their head. Obviously to go and show that B'chim Mendoisa was right, and all of those fools were totally wrong. He's saying, if you're telling me that had I been around, maybe Kadosh Baruch Hu would have made a ganze nes, that I would have been able to hit all the Ari and the Doiv. Kadosh Baruch Hu could have made even a greater nes, that even if I'm not around, that all of the Ezim would have come back with the Dubim and the Ze'evim, the Aris, on their horns, and therefore you don't even need me, if you're such a gross Baal Schusim Baal Moifis. So if you're more of an emulator, but the choicher can go and say, or the machke can go and say back to the choicher, Nehidel Nisa Rabba Loyava Chazina, I'm not a Chanina Mendoisa, that I'll agree with. He's a club of one. I cannot compare myself to Chanina Mendoisa. Avla Nisa Zuta Chazina, but I'm still a nice guy. Kadosh Baruch Hu could have made me a smallness, and what's a smallness? And had you been around, you could have chased all of these Avim and Ariz away, and therefore you should have to go and pay. The Gemara Kasha. Gemara says good Kifrek. Gemara doesn't say Tiyuftas. It's, you know, a bumper Kasha. Gemara holds it's a good Kasha. Once we're saying that the Machir has all these chusim, that Kadosh Baruch Hu would have sent him in the regular year when everybody else is hit by the Makas Medina, his chitim, his se'orim would have flourished, would have blossomed, then it's a taka svar to say that if this person would have stuck around, then he should have been able to go and fend off against the Ari and against the Zayv. Seymour doesn't have a teretz on discussion.
It's the opposite. We should be thankful that he wasn't there. The Ari and the bear would have eat him up. He's going to fight a lion and a bear?
That's what Seymour said. Oindem oisa. We go and assess the situation. Em yochel ha'atzel, if he's the type of verse of oisa, if he's a Goliath, that he could go and hit the Zayv and the Ari, then he's chayv. He should have been around. Vimlav, if he's a normal, regular guy that shouldn't start up with and should run for the hills if he sees Zayv and Ari, and that's what he did. Anyway, Gemara Black Matakasha, Zot Gemara Vaita, Tony Chodim. We're talking about Night Nochemu, this Makas Medina business, going back to our Mishnah. Tani chada pam rishoyna ushniya zoyra ushlishes ena zoyra, meaning the first year and the second year, each time he went and planted, and each time, unfortunately, it was hit by the chogav or nishtifa, he has to continue working in the field and continue to plant it. First year, the second year, even though Nebuch, these years, every day, every week, every month, we have the grasshoppers, we have the wind blasts, makes a difference. You've got to do your work in the field. However, if it's already happened for 2 years straight, Shlishi Zayin Azara, the third year is off the hook, he doesn't have to plant anymore. He can go and say, I see the writing on the wall, it's going to have the same Makas Medina again. He can sit on the sidelines, he doesn't have to work in the field. The time Yidach, however, the other Brisa says, only if it's a Shlishis, if it happened 3 years in a row, then Zoira, he continues planting for the full 3 years. Revia Zayin Azara, in the fourth year, he doesn't have to go and plant anymore, because obviously you already have a Chazaka that this is going to be a Makas Medina on this field and the surrounding fields, so don't even bother. Is the Chassid of the two Brises? The first Brisa says that after 2 years, the second Brisa says only after 3 years. There's of course a famous machlokes throughout Chas. We're going to talk about this more in Cheskes Habatim. We're going to talk about the laws of Chazaka, but this comes up not only Cheskes Habatim, it also comes up in a much more remote situation, and that more remote situation deals with the case of an Isha Katlonis. What's an Isha Katlonis? What happens if a woman goes and marries a husband, and then sometime thereafter the husband dies, and then she marries a second husband, and guess what happens? That second husband dies. Then what happens? She wants to marry a third husband. Can a third husband go and marry her, yes or not? And that depends on this machloket between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rebbe says it's already two husbands that have died as a result of this woman. We're not going to go into whether she poisoned them or they died a natural death, whether they were already 85 or 95, 105 years old. The bottom line is, says Rebbe, after two times is a chazaka, don't marry this woman because she's an Isha Kablanis. You can go and marry up to three times, but not more than three, because then she has a status of Isha Kablanis. Anyway, so just like over there, two and three, the same thing you have over here, the same machloik is after 2 years or 3 years. Amr Ishlakish, Lushan Alishazor, Bitamcha, the Ochla Chogov, Abazor of Leitamcha, Matiomli, Balakarka, Kolime Zera, Zaralal Ozul, etc. What the Gemara is telling us is that we talk about a Makas Medina, and that we just said now, that a person gets a break after 2 or 3 years, or 4 years, like the Gemara just said, Meditzvai Braises, that's all Shazar B'tzamcha, that he planted it, and it grew. And the Chogav came, the grasshoppers came, the locusts, or the Nishtafa, the wind blast, and blasted these fields. Oh, then you have a good point. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Avazor of Leitzamcha, what happens if he planted it and it didn't grow at all? You have to continue planting and planting and planting. In other words, even though most people go and plant, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, Tishrei Cheshvin Kislev time, that's the normal time for planting. However, if none of those seeds started sprouting, none of them started coming out, and you see that they're all dead seeds, and you got to start all over again. Keep on planting in Kislev, and in Teves, and in Shvat. And Amos, until how far does this go? Amra Papa ad os arisai midabra, until the arisan come back from the field, the kaima kima reshayu, and the mazel of kima is over their heads. What does this mean? This means in Chodesh Adar, that they have to keep on planting and planting and planting, even though all the seeds that they've planted for the last few months have been duds, none of them have grown. Since you have a deal of Chakiris together with the Machkir can go and say, Mister, our contract is to work the fields as best as possible, keep on seeding it, keep on plowing, nochmul seeds, nochmul fertilizer, nochmul irrigation, until you reach Chodesh Adar.
If it doesn't work after that, then
you're off the hook.
The hooker doesn't have to pay. He's not in debt to the year.
Exactly. Totally off the hook because it didn't grow. I did the best I could. I put in all my efforts. However, if he fell asleep on the job, he only planted in Cheshvan Kislev, and it didn't grow, he has no right to any reduction. He has to continue planting and continue and to put on more fertilizer and more irrigation till the thing hopefully begins to grow. Now, what is this lotion of the Osir Arisa Midabra V'kaim Mekim HaReshai? That the arisim come back from Dabra. Dabra, of course, is like a lashon midbar, but here it means from the field. The kaima, kima, kima is the name of a constellation. Areshayu is on top of their heads. So here you have a lengthy Rashi, and what Rashi does is he goes through all of the constellations, and this is a fascinating Rashi and a fascinating, those of you that are interested in astrology and astronomy, this goes into it in some detail. But for our purposes, if you want, we could try to be makatzer, and Rashi, if you look at this long Rashi starting at Zman Chiyosa Risa Midabra, if you go about 10 lines into the Rashi, you see Rashi says that there are Shneim Osr Mazolois, there are 20 constellations, Zeo Sidron, and the Seder is...
12.
What did I say?
20.
I'm sorry, my apologies. I meant to say 12. Thank you very much for correcting me. There are 12 Mazolois, and the Seder is Tishas Sa'av Ma'ak Gidad. What do these 12 mean? So let's see if we can work it out together. The Tes stands for Tle, Shin stands for Shor, Tov stands for Toimim, Samach stands for Sarton, Aleph stands for Ari, Bey stands for Psula, Mem stands for Moiznayim, Ayin stands for Akrov, Kif stands for Keshes, Gidad, Gimel stands for Gidi, Dalet stands for Dili, and the last one, Dalet, stands for Dogim. Dogim everybody's familiar with because that's the 12th month and that's the 12th constellation, and Adar is the mazel of Dogim. Good. So Rashi tells us that there's a Seder when each one of these 12 constellations starts going up every single day throughout the year. And they change from month to month to month, which means that in Nisan time, the first constellation that goes up in the morning is the Tle. That's the test of the Tishas. When it gets to year time, it's the Shor that goes up. And Sivan, then it's the Toimim, and so on and so forth. Okay, and each day, all the 12 constellations go up. 6 of them go up during the day, and the others are 6 go during the night. So Rashi explains that the Tle, for instance, and you start Nisan time, the first constellation that goes up is the Tle, and it goes up for a 2-hour period. Since they're 12 altogether, like Simi pointed out, 12 times 2 is 24, so each one goes up for 2 hours. And therefore, sorry, was up there?
No.
Yeah, so the Tle goes up for 2 hours. It's the first one that goes up in Nisan. So therefore, Nisan, 6 o'clock in the morning when it's morning time. So then the first constellation that goes up is the Tle, and it goes up for a 2-hour period. Once you hit 8 o'clock, then the Shor starts going up. When you hit 10 o'clock, then the Toimim start going up. And it goes clockwise, like in a clock. And then, of course, once you've gone through 6 hours, then the Sartan goes up. And after 8 hours, then the Ari goes up, and so on and so forth. That's all when you're starting Nisan. But now we're not starting Nisan, now we're talking about other time. And other time, the first constellation that goes up is the Dogim. That's the final one. Okay, so the Dogim goes up at the 6 o'clock mark, and then the next one is the Tle that goes up at 8 o'clock, and the Shor goes up at 10 o'clock, and the Toimim goes up at 12 o'clock, and the Sartan goes up at 2 o'clock, and so on and so forth, until you have all of the 6 constellations going up. So what does that have to do with all of us? What that has to do with us is that in Chodesh Adar, when you hit the 10th hour, 10th hour means 10 hours from 6 o'clock in the morning that gets you to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. What has happened is, when you're about to hit 4 o'clock, the Tle is at the 10 o'clock mark, because the Tle was the first one that went up that day. The one directly behind it is the Tle, and the Tle is at the 2 o'clock mark, right? If you're talking about that the Dogim is already at the 4 o'clock mark, because it's already at the end of 10 hours, so now behind it, the one right behind it is the Tle, he's at the 2 o'clock mark. And the one that is at 12 o'clock is the Shor. However, we're talking about the Kima. What's the Kima? The Kima is the Znav HaTle. Znav HaTle means the tail of the Tle. Since the Tle in its entirety has hit 2 o'clock, the very back part, the end of the Tle, is the Kima, meaning the tail. That tail is just leaving 12 o'clock. So therefore, Rashi explains, when the Arisim are coming back from the field at around 4 o'clock, which means, let's say, approaching 4 o'clock, 3:30, quarter to 4, at that time the Kima is the Znav Tle. That's the last part of the Tle, is now Kaim Arishayu, is on top in the heavens. For those of you that can identify constellations, will be able to go and say, you see, the Kima is in the Znav Tle, because the Znav Tle is now finishing off its revolution, where the head of the Tle has already hit 2 o'clock, and the body of it is at 1 o'clock, and the Kima, which is the Znav Tle, is still at 12 o'clock, which is directly overhead up in the Rekim. That's the whole explanation of Rashi. You can go through it, it's very gishmak. Anyway, yes, we'll look to Reb Simcha.
These signs, what they were called?
Mazolis, constellations, yeah.
Did we use them as, for example, obviously there are 12, so there's two.
One per two every 2 hours, right?
So is that like saying we have chodesh teves, kislev, chesed, the months, we have days. So these symbols define. Is there another way for us to understand time, essentially, or there's more ramifications to it?
It's certainly more ramifications, but I don't know if it has that much of a physical connection with us. I think it's much more of a metaphysical, spiritual type of thing.
Well, but you make cheshbonis here based on number. No, it's,
we're not making cheshbonis.
It starts with dogim and then play. We're basically based on our simple understanding of hours, no?
We say that mazel odor is dogim, therefore odor is a good mazel month. Can you explain that in physical terms? You can only explain it in spiritual medicine.
Explaining that you're saying there's 12 mazolas. So in other words, 12 o'clock starts with dogim, then it goes to tlay, and then it goes to
It's a timekeeping symbol.
So that was my question. Is there more significance to it other than, I don't know, I mean, this mazel is good, this mazel. Obviously, we know that the matib is simchan in Av, and I mean, but is that based on these mazolas?
It's clearly based on these mazolas, but if in terms of timekeeping, for someone that is an expert in constellations and does not have a watch with him, and he's trying to figure out what time, let's say a person who's been lost on a desert island for many, many years, he doesn't have a calendar, and he doesn't have emails, he doesn't have faxes, he has no way of finding out what month it is, what day it is, whatever it is. If he is a baki in the mazolas, he should be able to say, oh, I see there's not clays on top, that means we must be in Chodesh Adar. So shortly you have to get ready for Purim.
Physical qualities to each one of these results, which you and those who understand say this is this plan, this is a shot, this is a dogim,
I of course have no knowledge of this.
Rabelski
Zichrono Livracha was a bucky in all of the Big Dipper and the Small Dipper, and he always used to go and show his Talmidim during the summer where it was clear. He says, can you see over there, this is that, I was unfortunately never Zocha.
We have a Gemara elsewhere, we talk about the Mabul, and they talk about that two stars from Kima removed the death created the marble, and Hashem put them back, the marble ceased. So although they have metaphysical, the Gemara says they also have a physical gashmius, lumamish consequence if they're not in the right place, because that's the marble started with the removal of these stars and ended with the restoration.
What you're saying is true, but I don't know that that means it has definition of physical. Of course, it depends on how you define physical. If a person, a mazel dogim, mazel odor is dogim. If a person has tremendous mazel that month, a Baruch Shem, he makes $1 million when he normally would have made only $1,000, so that certainly has a physical ramification. But it's because of schoolness and mazolus and the metaphysical stuff, which is difficult for us. When I say us, I mean me. Reb Simcha has a much greater spiritual neshama than I do, so he has a better feel for this. Anyway, Freiti Mariet, Meisve, you just said now that you can keep on planting the field until Chodesh Adar, and now the Gemara is going to quote from the famous Rashi in Parshas Noach, which talks about that they're all together, if you will. We talk about four seasons, but that Rashi talks about the six seasons, because it says in the Pasuk, Chayetz V'choyrev, Kor V'choyim, Chayetz V'choyrev, Yoyim V'alayu, Lo Yishboisu. So Rashi goes through the different seasons in the different months. And the Gemara largely quotes that. In fact, Rashi and Chumash says Ayin in Masechta Bo Metzia for greater elaboration, and that's our Gemara. Meis Reb Shem Galil Mishum Reb Meir Oimer B'chein Oimer Reb Shem Ben Manasseh Oimer Kidvarv. That what? Chatzi Tishrei Marchesh Mechatzi Kislev, half of Tishrei, whole Chodesh Marchesh and half of Kislev, that's together 60 days, in other words 2 months, that's the Zera time. That's when people would normally go and plant their fields. Until, in other words, starting Chatzi Tishrei, Sukkot time, throughout Marcheshvin, until middle of Kislev. Chatzi Kislev, Tevis, Chatzi Shvat, that's Chorif, that's the winter time. Chatzi Shvat, Odor v'Chatzi Nisan, that's Kor, that's a very cold time. Chatzi Nisan, Iyar v'Chatzi Sivan, Ktkotzir, that's already the harvest time. Chatzi Sivan, Tamiz v'Chatzi Av, that's Kayit, that's the summer time. The reason why it's called Kayit is because you put the Te'enim out in the field and you let them dry out, and those Te'enim are called Ketzitzois, and that's, get the term Kayit. Chatzi Av El v'chatzi Tishrei Choyim, that's the heat season, the hot season. So that was the first version according to Rav Shimon Galil, Rav Shimon Meir, according to Rav Shimon Manasseh. Rav Yehuda Moina Mitishrei, Rav Yehuda said, don't start from half of Tishrei and then Gantz Cheshvin and half of Kislev, start from Chodesh Tishrei. That's the planting season. Rav Shimon Moina Mitishrei, Rav Shimon says, forget about Tishrei, you start from Chodesh Marchesh. So if you want man mekel bekulu, who's the one? The word mekel over here means who's the one that starts planting the latest on the calendar? The Pshimin. He says starting from Marcheshvan. The kuli haylik amar. He only said from Marcheshvan. He certainly didn't say from until Adar. See, maximum you start from half of Tishrei, Gans Marcheshvan. But Adar, you still have to. That's still part of the planting season. It depends what type of tvua did he get. Was it from the earlier growth season, or from the earlier planting season, or the later planting season? So what's the difference between Charfi and Afli? So if you look at the second wide line of the Rashi, all the way down below, Charfi is of Rashi, Chitin, the Shipoin Hanizroim, Betchilas Achoidev, Chitin, you go and plant at the beginning of the winter, in other words, in Marcheshvan time. So in the kidneys, you go and plant towards the end of the planting season in other time. This Rashi is a great appella, because the Chayyur Rashi is Soyser himself. As you all remember, we're going to lay him Yesh Hashem in another 2 weeks, Parshas Va'era. And the Pasuk says, when the Makkah's Borad came down, it says, V'hapishta v'asa'oira nukasa, that the Pishta and Sa'oira suffered as a result of the Makkah's Borad, ki asa'oira oviv v'hapishta givar. The Sa'oira and the Pishta, they grew earlier on. V'achita v'kusamis loinuku, they were not hit, ki afiloiseina, because these are later crops, says Rashi. Mu'ucharais, they are planted later on. So therefore, it's the Sa'oira which is planted earlier, and the Chita and Kusemus which are planted later on. And here Rashi says the other way around. Charfi, the Chita, the Shipoin are planted earlier on. And it's Ba'afli, the Afilois, and Sa'oira, the Kidneys, which is directly Lechoira, not like the Rashi and Chumash. Anyway, the Marsha asks his Kasha, and the Marsha says that Luli, the Rashi over here, he would say just the opposite, that the Charfi is referring to the Sa'oira. And the Afli is referring to the Chit. Anyway, I am the Marsha in the back of the Marsha.
And Menachos, we know that the Korban Omer was brought earlier than the Korban that's the Omer. So that would be dispositive one side, right?
That would be supportive of the Marsha and supportive of the Rashi and Chumash, because that's what's telling you is that the Seorah was planted earlier and therefore harvested earlier. And therefore, by the time of Nisan, there was already barley available to bring the carbon to Omer. Masha'en came, the Chitim were not available earlier. They had to wait until close to Shavuos for the Shteilach. Right. So that would be consistent with Rashi and Chumash, not with Rashi here. Anyway, I'm the Marsha. And we continue the Marsha. We said, Rabbi Yehuda said that if the Chakiris was paid not in bushels of wheat, but paid in money, in other words, Schiros, then what would Allah be? Then this Makas Medina doesn't apply. Says Yimah, the Kibbutz Alei, the Kibbutz Ara, the Mizra Bahu Tumi, Agud Nahar Malkas Abba. Person took upon himself, in other words, a choicher, to go and plant Tumi. What's Tumi? Tumi is the same as Shum. Shum means Knobel. Knobel in English is garlic. He accepted to go and plant garlic on the banks of the river Malkasaba. Bezuzi, for money. Istaka Nahar Malkasaba, and unfortunately the waters of Nahar Malkasaba were diverted by people that lived upstream, and therefore the waters didn't come to that field, and the field didn't grow because the waters didn't get there. The waters were diverted by others. So then Rashi Pshat. Also, the Kamed Rabbi, so he came in front of Rava. Amalei Nahar Malkasabali Ovid Demischer. This is not something that happens on a normal basis, and it didn't just affect your property; it affected all the properties in the region. Amakas Medina Zil Mechilei. You can go and now take a reduction in the amount of chakiris that you had agreed to. But notice that the amount of chakiris here was money. His money. So Amalei Rabban Rabo Anan Tanar. You know, even if it's a Makas Medina, you don't get a reduction in the price. Why not? Because you're talking about money. You're not talking about bushels of wheat. Amalei less a harsh little bit. We don't pass like a Yehuda. Makes no difference whether or not the Chakiris is money or bushels of wheat. If it's a Makas Medina, you get a reduction. So the Mishnah Baita Mekabel said Mechaber Be'Asar Kor Chitim Lashana V'Loksa. No, he said, "Loi mitaycha." Person went and took upon himself to go and grow chitim in a particular property, sora kur chitim, and unfortunately, laksa. Laksa means that it was a bad crop. Rashi says the chitim were shadufais and kechushais, like you find in the Pari's dream that these were shadufais; they were tzeklapt. And Rashi says it has to be talking about chakiras. It doesn't have to talk about kablonis, because kablonis, which means if you're talking about a rhesus, pshita kalecha tzoich v'schay b'chalkoi. In other words, it's Saka true, he took upon himself to go and grow the mushal 10 kar of chitim, and he's going to pay him 10 kar of chitim, or 5 kar of chitim, whatever they agreed to. If Lux, unfortunately, the crop didn't come out good, So he gives it still 50% or a third or it makes no difference what the quality of the crop is. If he did a good job, he has to go and just give the percentage, whatever they agreed to. So now the chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though the chitim came out poorly, no yisrael mitoich, he goes and gives and the chitim from this particular property, because that's what grew. What happens if the chitim in fact came out very, very nice? He can't go and benefit and say, oh, they did such a great job, I'm going to keep those chitim for myself and I'm going to go and give him regular, ordinary chitim. No, 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 he has to go and give chitim that grew from that property. He agreed with the Balabos to go and plant an aspasta. We had aspasta before. That's something that you would usually give for the machal b'haima. It was shachas that you give for the animals to eat. And he agreed that he's going to go and pay the person a rental payment, not in money, but in kuri de sari. He's going to give him one kor, two kor of sari, of sa'oinim, of barley, even though what he produced was aspasta. At least that's what he was supposed to produce. Anyway, of the aspasta, the first month he made aspasta, and b'charshim zara sari. And as Rashi brings from other Gemaras, that aspasta grows every 30 days. We're going to have Mitzvah and Cheskes about in the Bava Basra shortly. How many aspastas do you need to go and establish that you happen to be the balabos, that you own this property? Because normally it's three planting and harvest seasons, but the planting and harvest season as fast is only 30 days. So we'll talk about that a bit in Chesed Habat. Okay, so 30 days passed. He presumably went and planted it in Tishrei or Cheshvin. It's now Cheshvin or Kislev. He harvested it, and now he went and planted again, but not Aspasta, but now he planted Tz'oirim. And guess what happened? Velaku, and the Tz'oirim became a Tz'klaft. In other words, he didn't produce a nice Tz'oirim crop. Hi, Velaku Hanisari. Shochar Abchaviva Misura, the pros, the Kamid Ravina. Ki, I got the mind, what's Aloch over here? Ki, Loksa, Noisle, Mitaycha, Dami, Harmishtu, we said that if there was a likoy, if the crops were all hit this year, you give from the crops of this property. Oiloi, or not. Amalais, he said, I don't understand your cash. Me, Dami, how can you compare? Hosli Abda Arish Lichus in the Mara. Hok Abda Arish Lichus in the Mara. And Aramish is talking about that they agreed to go and plant chitim. And unfortunately, the chitim didn't come out triple A chitim. They came out triple C chitim. What can you do? That was a maka of the field. He gives them whatever they agreed. They agreed to chitim from this field. He gives them from this field. However, here they agreed to go and grow aspasta and pay with sa'oidim. And what did this guy do? He violated the contract and he went and planted sa'oidim. So he can go and give sa'oidim from this field. He has to go and give good quality sa'oidim in accordance with what he would normally have to go and pay had he planted aspasta according to the contract. So he can't bring a rye from Amish. Similar case. So we got with the Kimmel, Pardes Mechavrei, Pe'esu Dani Chamel. He took upon himself to go and tend to a vineyard on behalf of his chaver, and he's going to give him at the end of the season 10 barrels of wine. And guess what happened? Taku b'chamer. And the wine was sour. After all, he did what he was supposed to. He was supposed to go and grow grapes. He grew the grapes. He was supposed to give him 10 barrels of wine. He gave him 10 barrels of wine. So what did he do? So that's what these grapes and that's what this vineyard produced. Amr Ravashi said, all to no dinyan. Me dummy hustle, we have the Ara Shlichusa. What does the Gemara mean to say? The Gemara means to say is that the reason why the wine got sour, don't attribute it to the grapes or to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The grapes were fine. This producer produced lousy wine. When he went and took the grapes and harvested them, and then he took them to the kvetcher, and then they processed them to the gassia. Yeah. So he didn't do a great job. Whatever, the wine presser didn't do a good job, the harvest didn't do a good job, but the grapes were fine. And so therefore, you cannot give him from the sour wine. You're going to have to go and give him good wine from somewhere else. Omer Ravashi, the envy dekadim. Envy dekadim means that if the grapes were wormy, obviously, that's not his fault. That's a Makas Medina, if you will. That's from the Loku, from the Karka. Or some other disease or some other problem that happened. The Rashi says, that when they wanted to go and dry them out, they didn't dry out properly. Anyway, something that he did not go and deviate from the normal standards, from the normal Minhagim. He did it the way he's supposed to. And unfortunately, it's for Kalia. That's what the Mishnah says. Have a wonderful day, everybody.